Hello and welcome back to Long Arm Stapler, a podcast about zines. I'm your host, Mayra, and yeah, still excited to be back doing this. Thanks for listening. Still getting my bearings with the interview like talking to people again. So thanks for bearing with me during this troubling time. But I'm excited about today's episode. Today I am joined by Alyssa Giannini of Crafter DIY. And let me introduce them. So Alyssa Giannini is a DIY lifer, zinester, and self-employed artist eking out a living in the Pacific Northwest. When they're not making zines, you can find them begging for donations to open an all-ages music venue in Olympia, Washington, hosting a biannual punk rock flea market, or maintaining DoDIY.org, an international database of DIY music venues and organizers. And you also just opened, like, another project, right?
Yeah, I did. I do that. Clean Air Oli, which is, like, a clean air org. We just got, well, I say we, but it's just me, got a purifier that's, like, good for really big rooms, so it'll be good for shows. And it has had its maiden voyage, but, yeah, very, very new. No shows on the books except for the ones that I'm involved with.
Cool. And also, hello.
Hello.
I've been looking forward to this because we've been internet friends for a while.
Long time.
Yeah. And then the one time I have been in Olympia, we met at Olympia Zine Fest, the very first one, which was 1,000 years ago, in 2015. So yeah, I have lots of questions. Excited to chat, and I'm gonna jump on in if that's cool with you.
Absolutely.
Cool. So can you tell us about, like, how did you get into making zines? Where did that start for you?
Technically, I was making zines before I knew what they were when I was a kid. I just, like, always drew and stuff, and I wish I had, like, the first zines, but did a lot of just, like, haphazardly stapling pieces of paper together. but later, more intentionally, I guess I got into making zines around age 20. I had, like, received some zines at, like, shows and stuff, but then I went to Philly Zine Fest and was like, oh, and that inspired me to make my first zine.
Was that when you were still living back on the East Coast?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, I have not been to Philly Zine Fest, but it's, like, it's definitely on my list because it just always looks really fun. And I think the organizers seem really nice, which is always good to have, like, fun and nice seeming organizers of a zine fest, as a zine fest organizer myself. So
totally.
I feel like a lot of people that I ask that question are always like, yeah, I've been making zines since, like, before I knew what they were. And that's really cool that kind of almost everyone I talk to has just been making, like, cool, weird art since they were kids and just, like, didn't have necessarily, like, the words for it. But that's really exciting.
Totally. It's like we intuitively knew from birth to be zinesters.
We're all destined for zinester greatness. I know you've been doing DIY stuff for a long time, but, like, what inspires you to just kind of, like, carve out this, like, DIY community and, like, it? This is, like, four questions in one, I guess. But firstly, what inspires you to keep making zines and, like, kind of keep carving out, like, DIY community within that?
Well, I feel like I just keep having ideas for zines, and maybe someday that won't be the case, but I just, like, always feel compelled to, like, bring ideas to fruition. DIY, just makes sense to me. I've been involved in DIY in some way or another since I was like 13, like 12 or 13. And yeah, I don't know. I was like, huh, these are my people. I just like to do stuff myself that like, maybe there's like other ways to do it, but I've always just been like, huh, I'll try to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, I like that you just kind of like, when you have an idea, you like make something, because you're, I would say you're like a pretty prolific zinester. Like, you've got some like long running zines and then some like really big, I'd say big, important, like maybe not one-offs, because there might be something like in the works, but like two of the zines that we're going to talk about later, like one of them is, I'd say, like a very, very important resource. And then one of them is like issue 9 of one of your per zines. Like, that's wild that they're just, there's been so many, I don't know, like per zines, I love a long running per zine. I feel like I sometimes lose the thread when I'm making them. Like, and I'm just like, oh, the idea that I like had for that one is like, I don't know. I like lose motivation. So I'm like, okay, I'll start a new series. And then I get to like 2. And then I'm like, okay, but I lost the thread again. And now I need, like, I just don't, I don't know. I could just make them all under like 1, but I forget.
I have like the opposite problem where I'm just like, I feel like I'm like an archivist at heart, and like the Wanderer per zine is just kind of like archiving my life from issue to issue.
I did that when I first started making zines. Like, I made probably, I think, 9.5. I called one like a half issue for some reason. I can't remember why, but I did. When I first started making zines, I made a bunch in a series called Perpetual Nervousness. And they were relatable. Like all, yeah, they still relatable like 10 years later. They were all like quarter size. I remember that being like really challenging for me to figure out like math wise, but also like fun because I could put it in a pocket.
I don't like math. It took me a long time to crack quarter size.
I just dove it, and like I was making all of my zines in like Microsoft Word at the time, so it was very like, I have to like make it, it was troubling with the font, like making it big enough so that when it would print small, it would still be like legible. And like, it was more math than I would care to do at this stage in my life, for sure.
I feel like every zinester has some incredibly convoluted way of putting their zines together that is like very specific to just them.
I like the way you, I don't know why that reminded me, but I really like the way you like bound Wanderer with like straight, is it like embroidery floss?
Yes. That is a holdover from my beginning zine days before I owned a long arm stapler. I wasn't actually given, I was given one as a gift by my friend Israel like in 2015 or something, and that's the beginning of when they were stapled.
It's very, it's a very cool touch, and like, especially like, if anyone like ends up picking up a copy, great, incredible, do it. But nobody can see what I'm looking at right now, so I'm just gonna describe it. But it's like black and white illustration on the front, but then there's like red, and like red accents, and the embroidery floss that was used like matches perfectly the red, which was like just visually very cool to see. So,
well, thank you.
Now that I'm not geeking out about embroidery floss, or to move on from geeking out about embroidery floss for whatever reason I was doing that for, do you have like, as far as like your creative process, do you have kind of like one set like mode that you kind of get into when you make all of your zines, or does it kind of vary from like zine to zine?
I feel like it's pretty similar. Like the mini zines, it's a little different just because they're so easy to like do as one like cohesive action. Because when I do those, I usually like fold a piece of paper and just like write and draw everything at the same time and then scan it and then inevitably have to like adjust it because of printer margins. But for like longer zines, like a zine like Wanderer, it's, and like any, like even the How to Support Your Non-Binary Family Member zine, it's just like a lot of like dumping thoughts into a Google Doc. And then from there, it gets like kind of set up in my convoluted way of making zines, which is I have a very old cracked copy of Photoshop from 2007.
Nice.
And I have like a bunch of like templates set up for myself with guides and stuff. And then I just kind of like figure out what, like how many pages it's going to fill and like where drawings are going to go. And then I usually have like an idea of what the drawings are going to be when I'm writing it. But yeah.
Do you use Photoshop for like most of your zine making?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like I'll draw it on paper and then lay it out on the computer kind of guy.
Nice. Yeah. I've been doing that a lot lately now that I've been like incorporating more like actual drawings into stuff, especially like dogs. That's
hell yeah. Draw,
but like
that's a good thing to draw.
Yeah. Speaking of dogs, I can't remember if I told you this, but I ended up, I mean, I'm sure that when you were packing my order, you know that I got copies of Short Kings, your zine about dachshunds. And I ended up giving them as gifts for Christmas, and
nice.
Both recipients were very excited about them. Because if you're listening and didn't know this, I am a dachshund guy. And so when you posted Short Kings, I was like really excited about it.
Hell yeah, that rules. That was an ode to my friend Aaron's dog Petey. Aaron Dorney makes great zines also.
You've got like, I feel like you've got so many mini zines. Like, because you've got a bunch about like plant, like specific plant care for like different kinds of plants, and like I don't know, I love mini zines. Like I love making them, trading them, teaching them. Like they're just like fun one-offs, but I feel like you've got like a really kind of diverse collection of ones that you've made that is really fun.
Thank you. The plant care ones I made for, I was like trying to give away a lot of plants, and I was like, this will be helpful, because another thing about me is that I have like 60 or 70 plants at my house.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice way to be like, please don't screw this up. Here's how to take care of this gift that I'm giving you.
Totally. Also, I'm like, if you screw it up, that's okay, because I probably have another one.
Yeah, like able to replace, but like do your best.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask you kind of specifically about two zines that you sent me that we've already mentioned. One of them is How to Support Your Non-Binary Family Member, which I actually gave a copy to my mom for Christmas like 2 years ago. And I was like so nervous about it, like almost like crying as she was like open, like holding back tears, like while she was opening her presents. Cause I was just like so nervous about it. Cause the way I like came out to my parents as non-binary was like super complicated, as like it can be for a lot of people. My mom was lurking my Tumblr when I was like trying to process it on my own. That's how it happened for me. But she like read it, and it took her a couple months, but she like finished it before I got to her house one time, and was like, she was like excited to tell me that she like read it and was like, am I support, like she was like asking me questions, and I was just like, I'm not kind of mentally prepared to like answer any of these questions, but I really appreciated it. So I wanted to kind of like ask questions and like talk about that resource. How, I guess the big one is like, how did it feel to like put that into existence?
It felt complicated and emotional. The reason that I made it was to come out to my parents, because I had come out to them like a year prior, and well, came out to my mom, and the response that I got was kind of like, cool story, bro. Which is like, I feel like something that is not talked about very often. It's like, people are like, oh, I'm going to be like rejected or accepted. And my experience was very much neither of those. So I was kind of like, well, maybe she just doesn't get it. And then in my usual way, I undertook a project. And actually like maybe like halfway through writing that zine, and it took me like 6 months to put that zine together, because it's like 50 something pages. And I did a ton of research and like talked to a ton of non-binary people and like parents and lots of people to like make it what it is. But I had to stop because I was basically just writing a persuasive letter to my parents. So I did stop and instead wrote a persuasive letter to my parents, so that I could kind of like take the pressure off completing the zine, because I was like, it needs to be foolproof. It like needs to not be debatable. It needs to like explain every single thing. But unfortunately, my parents are still kind of like, cool story, bro. But the zine has been really, really helpful for a lot of people. And I feel like it's like the perfect thing to like take some of the pressure off, because you're just like, I don't have to explain every single thing right now. Like, it's here and it's easily referenceable.
Yeah, it's like, it's so, it's laid out so it, not like a textbook, but it feels, it's very like well organized, and like it's so thorough. But I did really think, I know on the back you have like a statement of intention, which I thought was really helpful, like for my mom. And I like that you refer to it as like compassionate, or yeah, it's like a compassionate blueprint. And I think that, I mean, like a lot of people may or may not know this, but like there's no one way to be like non-binary. And so like this definitely gives like a good groundwork as like, here's kind of the baseline, and like, please understand or like try to understand it, and like really know that like it's such a difficult conversation to have with a loved one, and like, I don't know, it's like, it's such an emotional topic, but I think that it's laid out very well and very like straightforward.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, I felt like it being compassionate was really important, just because like there's not a lot, but there's like some stuff out there, and I feel like it's really easy to just be like so exhausted by having to like defend being non-binary and like the validity of it, that like I was like, well, that's not going to be helpful for people like my parents, who are like pushing 70 and like they don't know anything about it. So it was like written compassionately, partly because I was like making an appeal to my own parents, but also just because like I wanted it to, like I wanted people like my parents to be able to pick it up and just like not feel like the finger was being wagged at them or something.
It's also like you've had it translated into Spanish. Like, how was that process?
That was cool. I got a few requests for it, and I happened to get an offer to translate it. It's also been translated into French now, and I just go, thank you, and ask them what they want me to pay them for it. Because it's like that's an undertaking. I can't even imagine.
It's such an important undertaking, though, and that's really cool that people are like, I want to be able to, like, help my family understand it, and, like, this is the language that they, and so they, like, yeah, it's just so cool that, like, it's now a resource in three languages, and, like, hopefully more. Like, I don't know, this is really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm also glad that it's, like, hopefully not U.S., like, it can't be too U.S.-centric if it's, like, being translated into other languages and, like, or if they, like, think it's useful enough to translate. 'Cause, yeah, like I said, it's, like, a 50-something page zine. It's, like, not a short thing.
Yeah, it is 52 pages.
Yeah.
With, like, a glossary, which, yeah. And, like, list of resources and caveats and, like, charts. Yeah, it's an incredible resource, and I recommend that people, if you are non-binary, and you need better support from your family, I recommend picking it up. And also, like, if you're a family member who's like wants to take it on themselves and be like, how can I better support my non-binary family member? I recommend picking it up as well.
Love those people.
Yes, please. Like, I love when people take initiative on that. Like, that's exciting and rare, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other zine I wanted to ask you about is Wanderer issue number 9. And this, the like front cover description is a zine about mental health, self-care, travel, friendship, and DIY music. I really liked this issue. I found a lot of it really relatable, especially like, unfortunately, especially the like COVID anxiety parts of it, which I think is just like something that we all have to live with going forward for the rest of our lives. But there were specific parts that are not COVID related. I'll get into that, but there were specific parts that I really liked. One of them is that it has a playlist. Like, that was cool.
That's a staple of Wander issues. There's always a playlist.
Yeah, that's such a cool, like, not little feature, but, like, that's such a cool, like, addition to, like, have a playlist that goes along with it. I'm trying to do that for, I'm doing, like, a zine club at my friend's gallery, and every zine night meeting, I'm trying to have a new playlist for it. And then I was thinking of making like one of the pages in the zine just like a list of all the songs, at least that got played during. Because it's, you know, I make like 5-hour playlists just because I like to put things on shuffle and like, but it's like a 2-hour event. So I've got to cut it down. But I love when zines have playlists attached.
Yeah, me too.
One of the things that interested me about this zine is the Some Places I've Wandered section, because you talk about going to the Tulip Festival in Skagit County, which I found out about recently from reading Marsha Linehan's memoir. She's the inventor of DBT.
What?
And she lives up there and she talks about going, and I'm going, by the time this airs, I'll have been to Seattle, but I'm going to Seattle soon. And while I will not be going in April to see the tulips, they do a daffodil festival every year in March, I guess. So I'm going to see some daffodils.
Yeah.
There will probably be tulips as like, I assume the tulips don't bloom for like just a month, but I could be wrong. But yeah, I'm excited to go check it out. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do that too.
That rules. The daffodils are really cool. I've done that before as well. I love daffodils, and they have like a bunch of really funky, weird kinds.
Ooh, I love a funky, weird flower.
Yeah.
But the big thing for me in this one is definitely the COVID anxiety and like, the new neuroses just dropped section of Some Ways COVID Changed Me. I was like, yep, 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 yep.
It's comforting that it's relatable, because I do generally feel like a major buzzkill for even still talking about COVID.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, I live in the suburbs, and like, not even in the Bay Area, like, not many people are like masking regularly anymore, and like going to shows when it's like, or like, even if it's not that many people, like, just being out in public in, like, crowded spaces, I'm just like, oh god, oh god, oh god. Like,
same.
I'm gonna get COVID. And it's, I also, RIP Jeans, hello, elastic waistbands, was really funny to me, because, like, I started sewing regularly, like, right at the beginning of the pandemic, and all of the pants that I've made have been elastic waistbands.
Hell yeah.
And that's all I
correct
wear
anymore. Correct choice.
Yes. They're just comfy and easy to wear. But yeah, I just found this like really relatable. And like, I mean, you say COVID changed everything permanently and not in the fun political uprising type of way that we had hoped for. Like, it's, COVID is such a bummer topic, but I also like want to find and read like more zines about people's anxiety about it, like, and just because I find that so relatable, and I just like want to feel comforted that there's like other people out there who still give a shit about it.
Totally. There, I do feel like a bright side of this late time in the pandemic is that people that still care about it are fed up enough that we're like being louder now and finding each other. Cause I do feel like I have more like community than I did in maybe like 2021, 2022. Just because we gotta stick together. It like just seems also like it's been a bummer, like the way that like DIY music communities that I'm in have like just not cared about it really, because to me it's like, I don't know, disability justice gets swept under the rug enough already in DIY, but I was just kind of like, come on, really guys, like all this talk about we keep each other safe, and it's just like, but do we though? Which is why I started Clean Air Oli, because I was like, my friends and I are trying to open a venue, and that was going to be a feature of it anyway, and I just got impatient and was just like, what if I just did it now? And I'm glad that I did, and I hope that people use it, because I love going to shows. Like, I've been doing it forever, and it's, like, something that consistently brings me joy, and it's also a really high-risk environment to put yourself in. So, yeah, like, bright silver lining, we're finding each other, and hopefully we can like create the new normal that should have been, which is like increased ventilation, and like we're like, there's mask blocks popping up everywhere, so like we're giving each other masks, we're ventilating the air, we're, you know, we're doing it.
We're doing it ourselves,
yeah,
because we're not getting support from the government.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah, when I see that you post like stuff about shows online, I'm just like, it's really cool that they're like always masks required. I really like that this isn't zine related anymore, but I really like that like they're masks required. You now have like the air purifier, and like I think you like canceled a show recently because the venue like wouldn't let you have masks or something, right?
Not exactly. We've been kind of like, so there's like a lot of places where you wouldn't expect that you just like can't have a mask required policy. Like I was really excited that the library here was like allowing shows to happen again, but their policy is that they don't require masks, so you're not allowed to. It was like that at Portland Zine Symposium too. Like they couldn't technically require masks, but pretty much everybody wore them, because that's a fun thing about peer pressure is that it like works both ways. So like if most people are wearing masks in a space, like generally people will put them on if you make them available. But yeah, so we have the traditional venues we've used here, it's like impossible to require masking just because there's like through traffic from like the other parts of the place. So we've been looking for spaces that are like closed spaces where we can require masks, because when you require them and you provide them, people wear them. They just do. But if they're not required, then people are just like, oh, I don't have to do that, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun sidetrack, but I do have more like actual zine related stuff to ask you about.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So one of the last things I want to mention about this zine was I really liked, I think it's the second to last page, Dreamin' and Schemin' in My Friendship Era. And that page just made me really happy because, like, it's something that I've been trying to really, like, intentionally, like, go back to fostering now that, like, okay, so I guess back to the pandemic. So obviously the pandemic is not over, but like it's been really important to me after not leaving my house for like, I like didn't leave my house for like all of 2020 and like half of 2021. And so it's been really important to me to like really intentionally pay attention to like my friends and like have friendships and like especially ones where like we get to plan stuff and like put events on and like, so yeah, I liked that page. It made me happy that like you're just like doing cool fun things with your friends. Yeah. I hope that didn't sound like belittle, like, oh, you're just doing little things. Like that's no, like exciting. Yeah. Okay, cool.
It is exciting because I feel like you are also like a person that needs to be doing a bunch of stuff. And
for better or worse.
It's like just like a fun way to have friends. Like I feel like so much I'm like sometimes don't know like what to do with people, and I love like scheming like, oh, I'm going to see my friends and it's going to be a meeting and it's going to occur at this time and be this long. Like it's very helpful for me as a person that doesn't have much of a social battery.
Yeah.
And it's also like a standing hangout, and I love a standing hangout.
Yeah, because it gives you something to look forward to. That's been part of the fun of, like, scheduling these podcast recordings is, like, I'm trying to be really intentional about, like, who I chat with about zines, but also, like, it's very nice to be, like, oh, I have this thing at the end of the week to look forward to. Like, cool, let me do my research and, like, get excited. And, like, you know, it only takes an hour, which is about how long my social battery is. Like...
Hell yeah.
It's same. Perfect little encapsulating, like, I can do an hour. Hour or less. So the last thing I wanted to ask about your general perzine process is, like, I guess you already covered this, but, like, how do you know when one is done? Or, like, how do you... Because I know you mentioned that you, like, put everything in a Google Doc and kind of figure out how many pages it takes up, but, like... How do you know kind of when to, like, you're like, okay, this issue is, like, finished?
It's honestly, like, since I do them about once a year, I'm just kind of like, I'll just cover what I haven't covered yet. And sometimes there'll be, like, a little spillover and that'll become, like, a mini zine or something. But it is hard to decide what exactly I'm going to cover. And yeah, I think I think sometimes I'll like lay out what I want to write about, and then it just like turns out that I don't have very much to say about something, and then I'll give like a little bulleted list or something about it, because it is like I definitely fight with the tendency to be like, did I cover everything? Did I cover everything that happened in the last year? And it's like it's not actually important. So, yeah, I guess it's just kind of, like, conveniently spans whatever I hadn't gotten to yet.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's just a journal.
Like, yeah, that's true. That's what I love about perzines is I mean, I come from LiveJournal, so it's essentially just like LiveJournal in book form, which I love.
Me too.
So do you have anything like coming up that you want to like promote or plug or talk about in the last few minutes? Like, do you have anything that you're like, everyone must know about this? Like, it's so exciting going on.
I don't know if I have anything that's that exciting, but I am going to Table Lancaster Zine Fest in Pennsylvania, which is my hometown. And when I lived there, there wasn't much zine stuff going on. And this is their second year. And again, the organizers seem like really nice. And that's always a plus. So I decided to plan a visit around that because my friend Aaron Dorney is also going to be in town because neither of us live in Lancaster anymore. But that is where we met. And it turns out that she's going to be tabling it. And also my like BFF that lives there's birthday is that week. So it's just going to be a big fun week. And Lancaster Zine Fest is like two floors at like the big Southern Market. So that'll be exciting. It'll be like really cool to go back to my hometown and like meet zinesters there. Cause I only knew like a couple when I lived there. And I guess another thing I have it already, but I haven't released it yet, but I'm going to have a submission call for a zine called Posthumous. And it's about like a celebration of life for defunct DIY music spaces. So if people want to like tell about what they loved about the space or have like photos or flyers or stuff to submit, that'll go up soon. And it'll be like in the place where all my things live. And we'll probably
you can say link in bio on the podcast.
Totally. That's true. That's true. Oh no. The link will be in my bio. I will post about it on my Instagram and in my newsletter. And yeah, we'll do a pre-order for that, and the proceeds will go to raise money for this space that we, this hypothetical space that my friends and I want to open.
Hell yeah. I'll post links to like where to find your work and stuff in the show notes.
Sweet.
Yeah, this was really fun. Despite technical difficulties,
we crushed it.
Yeah, we did great. Thank you so much for taking the time today to chat with me about zines. Yeah, this has been really fun. Thank you for listening to Long Arm Stapler as well. I will also post links to where to find my stuff in the show notes. If you want to be on the podcast or like talk to me about zines, there's a link in my bio on Instagram. You can find me on the internet at like Linktree, which I'm sure, I don't know why I'm like writing it out in the air right now, but if you have been on the internet, you know that it's linktr.ee/, and then it's just long arm stapler with no vowels. And there's a link to like fill out a form, or you can send me an email or a DM or whatever. That's enough about me and my podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you.
And yeah, keep listening. More fun guests ahead.